the sports cast, October 26, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us 24/7. And of course, you can listen to Alabama football games every weekend. Visit us on thesportscast.net and also visit us on Twitter, thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. The World Series has been finalized. We now know the two teams that will be going, the favorites, Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies, who haven't been around since 08 in this World Series. And join us, he's becoming a stranger to the Sportscast, Ryan Krista. Welcome back.
And Diego, it's good to be here. It's one of those times of the year sports calendar where everything's going on at one time, Santiago. We're talking World Series. We're in the midst of the middle of the NFL, college football, NHL is going on, NBA is starting. So, wow, it's just a crazy time as an American sports fan.
And if the World Cup was pushed up a month early, would have been extra special.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we could have handled it, Santiago. I don't even know what I'm going to do Thanksgiving weekend. It's just going to be so football and football and a lot going on.
All right, so the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros will play game one of the 2022 World Series on Friday night, this Friday, at Houston's Minute Maid Park. The Astros will be vying for their second championship in the last 6 years, Ryan, and second in franchise history, while the Phillies are looking to reach the top of the MLB hype for the first time since 2008 and for the third time in their franchise history. Ryan, what are your thoughts over this World Series this year?
Well, I mean, you've got two different factors. You got the Phillies, who are obviously kind of your surprise team, and then you've got, you know, your super team Astros, you know, with star power, you know, pitching and hitting, you know. The Phillies came in this year, you know, as a team who known the good swing the bat, you know, Bryce Harper, Castellanos, but really a team that known for being really a poor defensive team. Their numbers last year were crazy. But now you've got a team who fired a manager, Joe Girardi, hired an interim manager, and, you know, and they little by little, they just kind of, they stayed in the race. They were never great, you know, they kind of, one of the last teams were qualified for the playoffs, but, you know, behind, you know, Nola and Wheeler, you know, their star pitchers, you know, they got high at the right time, and that's all that really takes.
The Astros reached the Fall Classic by sweeping the Yankees in the ALCS. Across the league, the Phillies took down the Padres in five games in the NLCS. And then, of course, before that, Houston beat the Seattle Mariners in the ALDS. They've been undefeated, Ryan. Is this a good indicator they might win it all? But tell us, what were your thoughts over their path to the World Series this year?
Yeah, you know, I think the Astros are very dominant. You know, they really were never in any threat. You know, they've fallen behind, you know, in a couple of games, you know, early on, you know, the Mariners, even against the Yankees. But you just didn't think they were ever going to lose. You just thought they were always the better team. Their lineup is, you know, deep. You know, Alvarez, Altuve, you know, and then, you know, you got your dominant pitching staff, you know, led by, you know, Fetcher and Verlander. So I don't foresee them losing the World Series. I didn't foresee them losing the playoffs. So, you know, it'd be nice if it's a, you know, both of these last rounds, you know, the Phillies won in five, you know, and then the, you know, the Astros swept the Yankees, so hopefully I have a semi-competitive World Series, but I just think the Astros are just a better team. But again, you know, the Phillies were just, you know, the underdog in every series, so we'll see what happens.
Let's stick with the Astros before we head into the Phillies. The Yankees have had an expensive payroll going on. Came close game four, perhaps. But what was the problem with the Yankees? You know, Aaron Judge had a great season, had a home run record. What went wrong with the Yankees this season?
Just timely hitting. That's all about playoffs is. You know, I don't think their pitching was awful, but they just weren't, you know, Judge and Stanton, you know, the guys they needed to, you know, depend on all year. They didn't come through for them. You know, it's really as simple as that, you know. I don't think you can really blame them. Pitching gave them a chance in most games, you know, but I think the big question mark is, you know, what's Aaron Judge going to do? You know, they tried to re-sign him beginning of the season, you know, and they kind of turned down that deal. Somebody's going to back up the Briggs truck, you know, and that's going to be really interesting. You know, I think once this World Series is over, you know, that's going to be all the talk of baseball is we're the best hitter, you know, best play. The thing about Aaron Judge is, you know, he's not just a great hitter, he's a great fielder, you know, pitch for average. He does everything.
He does everything. Obviously, had a home run record. As Ryan says, there is going to be some contract issues after the season. Giancarlo is a big contract issue, which might keep, unload Aaron Judge from the Yankees and somewhere else. Let's look at the Phillies. As Ryan said, they were the underdog. They were in the wild card. They beat St. Louis 2-0. They swept that one, and then they beat the Braves 3-1. Which was a big indicator because the Braves were the champions of last year. And then they beat San Diego, new team, Juan Soto and everyone. Ryan, your thoughts over their path to the World Series?
Yeah. I mean, I thought the Padres were going to get up, you know. You know, I mean, being the Braves, that was a shocker, too, before we even got to the Padres. Yeah, like you know, everything, you know, that we talked about, Yankees not getting those clutch hits, the Phillies did, you know. Bryce Harper, you know, I mean, how long have you heard that name from Santiago? Kind of guy who's been on SportsCenter cover when he was 16 years old, being this, like, phenomenon, you know, big personality. He leaves Washington. Washington wins the World Series. He's desperately seeking, you know, this tour of, you know, I can put a team on my back and we can do it. And he really did, you know. He had a shot heard around Philly, you know, Sunday night, sends him into the World Series. So, wow, it's just a good time to be a sports fan in Philadelphia, Santiago. The Phillies are doing good. The Eagles are undefeated, so I'm sure we'll talk a little football later. But
yeah, we'll see which one, who will bring that trophy home. Let's look into the NBA standings. NBA season started this past week. Right now, the current standing is for the East. The Bucks are number one at 2-0. Wizards 3-1. Boston Celtics 3-1. Hornets 2-1. Cavs 2-1. Knicks 2-1. Hawks 2-1. Raptors 2-2. Bulls 2-2. Nets 1-2. I know it's only been 3 to 4 games, Ryan. Let's start with the East. What are your thoughts so far? Are you seeing some indicators, or you want to see some more? More games played.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you're really talking 1 week out of, you know, 5 months of basketball. You know, you're not going to put much stock into it. You know, I think I don't want to be negative, but I mean, the Ben Simmons experience isn't off to a great start, Santiago, for the Nets, you know, so we'll see if they can kind of have their trio get it all together, you know, again, very early. So we got Bucks and Nets tonight. That'll be, you know, kind of a test to see how you know, they're going. Then, you know, the Nets got the Mavericks on tomorrow night. I put a lot of stock into the Wizards, Santiago. When they get fully healthy, I think this is a very good Eastern Conference team. Hornets, I think, you know, just had a good week. I don't think they're very good. Cavs are, you know, a good team. You know, I'm really interested to see the Celtics, you know. Is this a team, you know, obviously we all that negativity around, you know, their coach, you know, and now you got a new interim coach, you know, who's really no coaching experience ever, you know. See how they rallied. So far, so good, you know. I don't know Santiago. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I got it very early. Everybody's still kind of finding their way through setting their rotations. If you look at it's kind of like football. It takes a couple weeks because no one really plays in the preseason. They really get your footing going. I know these teams count, but get these teams a couple weeks, and then, we're going to really start to formulate some opinions.
Yeah, and as Ryan mentioned, with Boston's Celtics, the team that fired their coach, Ime Udoka.
No, he
suspended for a season, but a lot of stuff is coming out lately, and of course, interim coach Joe Mazzulla.
I'm not going to say that Mazzulla is going to be their full-time coach, but I think we're pretty safe to say Udoka, he's not going to be the Celtics coach. But if you listen, some speculation on the NBA, listen to people, is that, there might be, I don't know how they, if they'd be. They're kind of keeping him in suspension because I think there's some interest from other teams. This guy really changed the Celtics' fortune last year. He's a good coach. The moves he made during the postseason to put his team in good position. I wouldn't be surprised if people make a move, bring in Udoka next year as their coach.
Yeah, Udoka, first-year coach last year with the Celtics, led them to the NBA Finals, but lost against the Warriors, the Mighty Warriors, 4-1, which segues to the West. The Blazers are 4-0, the Suns 3-1. Suns, who's also suspended their owner for a year, who's also in talks to sell the team. San Antonio Spurs 3-1, top three, Grizz 3-1, Pelicans 3-1, Jazz 3-1, Nuggets 2-2, Clippers 2-2, Wolves 2-2, Warriors 2-2, and your Mavs 1-2. Obviously, way too early, but the indicators, what do you see in the West? Are the Blazers the real deal, or they're just going to be 4-0 and maybe end a little bit towards the bottom of the table?
Yeah, I don't think they're superpower the Warrior. I mean, the Blazers, but, good start for them. Jeremy Grant's playing well. Anthony Simmons, a name that I don't know if a lot of people know, is kind of the reason why they were able to move on from C.J. McCollum. So we'll see how the Simmons-Lillard backcourt goes for the Blazers. It's hard to put in, a lot of if teams, like a Blazers are fool's gold. But I'm telling you, there's one team I will make a lot of assumptions that I know it's a big name team is. The Los Angeles Lakers need to do something with Russell Westbrook. It's kind of a big thing in the offseason. We'll see if it's going to work. It's not working, Santiago. I know it's four games. I know we just talked about hold your horses, but there's just a disconnection between Russell Westbrook and his team and, his role. And if the Lakers want to do something, they need to make a move in the sense of either shipping him out or putting him on the bench and saying, this is your role, you like it or not, or you're just not going to play. So you could just see there's a lot of negativity going on there. I know it's early, but they can work out these problems. I think they'll be an okay team because you still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are two world-class players. So, you just got to get everybody else on the same page.
Where do you think Westbrook would be a good place for him?
I don't think there's a great place right now because I think he can't do the things that made him great throughout the years. He does consistently. He lost his shooting touch, his confidence. I literally just see him going to a place where they're not very good. They're going to eat up his contract for a year. And then, he's got kind of a hard reality. And I think that's why people, that taking that lesser role. And I think it's hard. That's why I think you have players like Carmelo Anthony, Boogie Cousins, who are obviously on the downside of their career, having a hard time accepting that secondary role. A lot of teams would be interested in having them on the roster, but the egos are hard for them to say, for those players, type players to say, I'm okay, not being the focal point of a team. And that's kind of what Russell Westbrook is, He always thinks he's the best player on the team, even with Kevin Durant. I think, that's kind of set started at Barrier on that team. But we'll see. You know, like I said, it's still early, you know, and I just think, you know, you don't fall too far behind if you're the Lakers. And since, you know, there's too many other talented people on that team to be this bad of a team so far.
And with new Laker coach Darvin Ham, we'll see how things flourish there. The one player that I'm looking forward to see in the Lakers is Scottie Pippen Jr.
You like him? Yeah, I mean, he was a good college player on a bad college team. You know, we'll see what happens with him. You know, I think, you know, let him. If you got a playboy like that, you know, who are not fully ready, you know, let him go to the G League and play for a little bit. So before, you know, they just sit on the bench.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what the Laker team so far 0-3. So we'll see where things go with the Lakers. And how about your Mavs? 1-2, high expectations this year?
Yeah, I mean, the stars are playing good. The role players are not. I mean, Luka, you know, especially last night, you know, what, 36 points, you know, pretty much a triple-double. Christian Wood, off the bench, is averaging almost 25 points a game. Spencer Dinwiddie's, you know, hanging in there. You know, they're just, you know, like I said, everybody's finding their role, finding their rhythm. You know, you can't take too much. You know, they blew a huge lead to the Suns opening night. Then they blew out the Grizzlies at home by 37 points. And then they go and face the shorthanded Pelicans team last night and, you know, couldn't, you know, they weren't clutch, you know, in the moment that they needed to. So, again, don't hit the panic button early. They'll get things figured out. They need the role players to consistently step up, but I'm sure they will. They're good. So we'll not too worried, yeah.
Want to bring up Orlando Magic rookie Paolo Banchero, who had a 27 points opening game, something we haven't seen since LeBron James in 2003. I said he was going to be picked first in the NBA draft. Ryan didn't think so, but is the future bright for Paolo?
Yeah, you know, the future's bright for him. I don't know if it's Magic, you know. fortunately, the team isn't, you know. Isn't that great? But yeah, it's a good time for him, you know, to get a lot of experience. You know, again, they just got put all some pieces together on Paolo. There's also some good, you know, future players, you know, going to be in the draft next year. So let's see what the Magic do this year in the sense of trying to put a good product at the core, which kind of leads, you know, me to say, you know, M. Silver mentioned last week that he's going to be serious look at teams purposely trying to tank, aka the Magic, the Thunder, the Rockets, you know. So we'll see how teams are going to go about their strategy this year. Because they, like, let's face it, there's some really great prospects coming into the league next year that, you know, some teams feel like they just can't miss out on.
Ryan is hyping up the 2023 NBA draft. All right. I know it's beginning of the season, and this is our only prediction show for the NBA so far. Who is your finals prediction? Who will go to, like, all the way to the end, East and West?
I'm going to go back, you know, with the beat champion. I'm going to go with the Warriors out of the West. I think, you know, they're not doing great right now. Well, actually, I'm saying I'm going to go with the Bucks. I'm going to go Warriors-Bucks.
Warriors-Bucks, classic. And the Warriors had to go through a 7-game series with the Mavs all the way down to game 7. How about that? Yeah, Western Conference Championship.
Yeah, and I'm going to put a lot of pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Warriors this year. Not to win the championship in the playoffs, but I think there's a lot of pressure. This is the first time in a long time that they kind of got their whole core there healthy for the regular season. I want to say they're going to try to make a run at, you know, 60-plus games, 65-win season, you know, which I think they're very capable of doing. But when they have off nights like they, you know, they did last night, like Thompson getting cut, I think they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves to have a great regular season. So we'll see if it kind of affects them. So I think, obviously, I think they're a good team, and they'll definitely be a team I predict to go back to the finals. But I want to see how much pressure they put on themselves in the regular season. Kind of historical season.
Yeah, especially with Jordan Poole having a great contract extension, so a valuable asset of the Golden State Warriors.
Let me tell you, would you give them money to Draymond Green to keep him long in the core, or are you going to say you're done with him?
I would unload him.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a weird situation. I think, you know, they're kind of like a they do everything really good in the sense of, you know, they've always drafted well, you know, Clay, Steph, Draymond, even, you know, Poole. But, and the thing is, like, they took advantage, they had a, you know, with injuries, you know, with Clay and Steph a couple years ago, they were bad and they recognized it and they went out and they drafted good. You know, they have a plethora of talent on that team, you know. And then you got somebody like, and they made a good trade for Andrew Wiggins. You know, I think they're just kind of a model franchise of how you operate, you know, when you're good, and then how to operate, you know, when you have trust issues and things you can't control like injuries. So I think they're just a team I think everybody should kind of look up to the way you run an organization. With that being said, you know, they definitely have a difficult situation with Draymond. It's kind of the core. And I think Draymond, as he's got to understand, is he fits perfectly the way the Warriors run their offense. I don't think he's that much value if he goes to another team because he can't. I don't think he can do the things he does because he doesn't have the players around him. So we'll see what happens.
And maybe they're using the same model as the Jerry Cross model back in the Chicago Bulls 90s era.
Yeah, that was to get Michael Jordan a couple of good pieces that aren't going to get in his way, you know, Scottie Pippen. But they're just a really deep team. There's really no weakness, you know, when you talked about the Warriors. So I'm really interested to see how the Suns rebound after their disappointment in the playoffs last year. It's obviously, like we just said, there's so much still to be learned in the NBA. We're just kind of getting going. I say, you know, we talk again in a couple of weeks, you know, we'll see how the teams are progressing, you know, which ones are fool's gold. Are the Blazers are a decent team, or they were just, got a hot start. You know, I really don't think the Hornets are a good team in the East, but, you know, they're starting off well, so we'll see.
And the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, brought up the issue of tanking and that he's been flirting with the idea of promotion relegation, which is a model used in Europe. Your thoughts on that, Ryan? But even though he said, well, we could do that, but a G League team isn't ready for the NBA.
That's not going to happen. But it's just hard to regulate those kind of things, you know. It's hard because, you know, it's hard to tell teams what's player is not player, because you really don't know what's going on, you know. But at the same time, he's got to look out for what's his best interest, and that's him as owners and the fans. So he's trying, you know, if people have to pay money to go watch basketball, they're going to want to put it on TV, you know, not in the sense of national TV, but you want to make money for your local markets too. You can't be putting out garbage, you know, like somebody like a Thunder, who feel like if they put out the same lineup and 10 games, they're going to win. You know, they're not going to put out lineups. So they just want to lose because they just want so many draft picks. You got.
We'll see what Adam Silver cooks up to prevent tanking, something that the NFL as well is going through. All right, let's transition towards the NFL. Big news this week: James Robinson from the Jaguars traded to the New York Jets after Breece Hall was announced he was out for the season, suffering a torn ACL. The Jets aren't giving up. They want to take this season with a bang.
Yeah. big, you know, big move in a sense for both. It's basically solidified that ETN is the guy in Jacksonville, Santiago. You know, they, I think they recognize this. Nesse is in their year, but they're gonna, you know, they want to build with ETN, you know, for the coming future. And also, you know, this is, you got a Jets team, you know. I feel like you got a good player in Michael Carter, but a guy I don't think they think is a workhorse for the Jets, a running back. So you're going to go and you add another kind of workhorse-like guy, you know, and James Robinson. You know, this team isn't built by throwing the ball. It's built by running the ball, and that's what they're going to continue to do. And this is kind of shows that the motto that they want to keep, you know, keep going by, you know, running the ball, playing good defense.
And Jets with their streak, winning streak going on, they beat the Broncos in Denver 16-9. Ryan, explain to me what happened there.
Well, you know, not much changed, you know, with a new quarterback. You know, Brett Rippon playing for Russell Wilson. Their team is just struggling offense.
The Russells aren't doing well this year.
Yeah, Russell's not doing well, and I don't know if he never was healthy. It's just, you can't really expect Brett Rippon to come in. You know, they're not getting good line play. You know, they can't run. They have no running, consistent running game. You know, and then, you know, you have quarterbacks who can't get the ball to Judy. And so it's a tough situation, you know, for everybody. So we'll see how Nathaniel Hackett moves on. But things don't change, you know. I mean, this is offense is historically bad, Santiago. You know, you're getting a shade over a one touchdown a game right now. It's not good. That's not how you win games. You know, there's really no identity. Defense is, you know, keeping them in every game. You know, they also are giving up only about one touchdown, a little over a touchdown a game. So, props to defense. You know, but until the offense, you know, gains some momentum, they're going nowhere fast.
We'll see what happens with the Broncos, and we're seeing the proof that maybe it wasn't Russell Wilson, who was awesome in Seattle. Geno Smith is filling in those big shoes, and Seattle is on a streak too. Ryan, what's up with that?
Yeah, he's looking good, you know, and the Seahawks are, you know, pretty good in that division itself. But, you know, I think we had high expectations for that division. We haven't really seen the Rams take off like they did last year. Cardinals are average, you know, and 49ers.
But D-Hop is coming back.
Yeah, D-Hop can get it. They scored a lot of points last week, you know, got some defensive scores. But I thought it was a really great division, but it's not showing out right now. But props to Geno Smith, you know, to keeping the Seahawks in contention, because I really don't think it's a very good team. But I mean, they were probably hoping, you know, Geno would kind of fail, and you know, we got with the upcoming quarterback class, you know, Bob and Bryce Young. You know, there's a lot of hype, you know, they get one of those quarterbacks. But if they keep on winning, you know, they're not going to do it through their own picks. So.
And the rise of Kenneth Walker III, the rookie, I cannot complain. Seahawks are in the rise. Pete Carroll, maybe going out strong. We'll see what happens. In surprising news, the Colts bench Matt Ryan. They're going to start rookie Sam Ellinger for Week 8.
Yeah.
The Athletic reported that Ryan had a grade 2 shoulder separation and won't practice this week, but looks like Ellinger will be the starter for the rest of the season. Ryan, was this a shock when things were going great for the Colts?
Yeah, it surprises me, Santiago. I didn't see it coming, you know. I know he's injured, but something, this experiment. We'll see what happens going forward, you know, Matt Ryan, or, you know, they're just going to keep him as a veteran backup. But, this just kind of goes in general, you know, Santiago. We saw Tom Brady win a Super Bowl with the Bucs. We saw Matt Stafford win a Super Bowl with the Rams. Veteran quarterbacks coming into new teams. So then you have a Matt Ryan experience. You have a Russell Wilson experience, which none of that's going well right now. So we'll see if teams are changing the way they do things going forward after these failed experiments.
NFL experience. We'll see what happens. I like the Colts for the AFC South, but obviously there's still more ball to play. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, Santiago. You know, that division's still there. You know, no one's
they still in play more than the AFC West.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean. I think, the Chiefs are still good.
Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones, Ryan?
That's a hard question, you know. What a weird situation Monday night, you know. Monday Night Football, you know, last year Mac Jones kind of had this great rookie season, you know, and they kind of wanted to just draft, you know, because they could trust, you know. Zappe came in and did the job. I don't think he was flashy. I don't think he was playing crazy numbers, but
and Ryan is getting lost in the abyss a bit right now. Tough question.
Two touchdown passes. But, kind of very struggles. So struggles, you know, after that. So I don't know. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, and you gotta trust him as a pass fan. So we'll see what happens.
You think the issue is not having a concrete offensive coordinator could be the issue?
Yeah, it could be. You know, they struggled at the beginning of the season with Jones, and kind of found a little bit of rhythm. You know, not because of Zappe, but because of the running game, and they didn't even really try getting that going Monday night. Monday was just a weird game. You know, the Chicago Bears looked like they were not the team we've seen. You know, they obviously play great defense, but
Justin Fields,
he controls.
He's a solid QB1, Ryan.
If he plays like that every day, yeah. Didn't see that coming. You know, good for him. Good for, you know, that team. You know. I don't know what to do with the Patriots. We see the Jets step up, but like, it hasn't been pretty. The Dolphins play one good half every week. I don't know. After the Bills, I don't know what's going to happen.
Jets are number two right now in the AFC East. Can they hold that?
If they keep on that formula and they keep on playing good defense, sure. But eventually Zach Wilson's going to have to come out and step up and, you know, and make a play here sooner or later. So we'll see.
Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. We'll see what this team does with Coach Saleh. And one more. Who is the most unconvincing team, the New York Giants or the Dallas Cowboys?
The Giants are again. They keep on winning. They're kind of that same formula, you know. If you take most of their, other than Saquon Barkley, most of their offense starters wouldn't start from any other teams. I think they got a great coach in Brian Daboll, who's scheming things up, you know, but they're not flashy. They're again kind of like the Jets. They don't make mistakes on offense, and they play super hard, and they let Saquon kind of keep them in the game. It's just not a crazy formula, and Daniel Jones is making enough plays when he has to. They don't ask him to do a whole lot, but whether it's on using his legs or, you know, making a crucial throw, he's doing all that's been asked of him, and that's all you want.
Coach of the Year, Nick Sirianni or Brian Daboll?
Brian Daboll, yeah, for sure. You know, Nick Sirianni, I mean, obviously they're undefeated, but they were supposed to be a good team. And the Eagles are a good team, and I don't know if they're good as this 6-0 record is, but that's your only as good as your record. But with that being said, Brian Daboll is taking a team that I don't think he's won 5 games the last 2 years total, barely, you know, 6 games the last 2 years. And he's done it. And, you know, this team believes in them, play hard. And again, kind of like the Jets, never really pretty, you know, and they're just gritty. And when you see a team overachieve, you kind of got to give it to that team's coach as a coach of the year.
Ryan, can you do the gritty?
Not in my repertoire.
You are still working on it. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, that's right. It's a work in progress.
Maybe you and Mike Kosicki could be in the same class for that.
Maybe, yes.
Okay. Ryan, anything else in the NFL before we head into the predictions?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, we're about to turn the calendar in November, so we're really...
Deshaun Watson time.
You know, yeah, well, pretenders become contenders, and for Deshaun Watson, I think, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to help very much because they might be too far gone, but we'll see. Big game for them on Halloween night at home against the Bengals, but we'll see. You know, well, is it, you know, like I said, the calendar's turning November, and teams got to step up. You know, kind of the contenders will step up, and the pretenders, and you know, others will just take a step back. So, you know, as this month goes, coming month goes on, we'll can see what good teams are taking shape.
And will Nathaniel Hackett keep his job by December?
I don't foresee him firing him this year, during the year, but I mean, beyond this year, yeah, I don't think you're bringing an supposedly offensive genius, you know, not looking good.
Not looking good. All right, let's head into the predictions. Ryan and I predicted the World Series. Let's see who takes game one, Phillies at Astros. And what will the series be turned out to be?
I think Astros will win, and I think Astros win the series 4-2.
4-2 in six games. So Astros will have their first loss in the whole postseason.
Yeah. I think. What did you say?
I picked the Astros in seven.
Okay.
Right. I think I keep it interesting. Interesting. Baseball in November. You can't beat that. So we'll see what happens. Congrats to the Astros. Hopefully, Lee, no cheating this time, right?
Yeah. And props to, I think, first time playing, hopefully winning a World Series manager, Dusty Baker, who's been managing for as long as I've ever known. He's been a manager of baseball teams. So, but still looking for that first World Series.
The Dusty Baker, awesome. And the Marlins got a new manager, Skip Schumacher. So hopefully wish him well there. Thursday night football, Ryan, the Ravens at the troubled Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who do you got?
I got the Ravens. Bucks are in trouble. Bucks are not good right now. Not sure what's going on. Bruce Arians they miss him. There's a disconnect, obviously, with Tom Brady. I don't know if there's a lot of things it could be, but, you know, the Ravens haven't looked impressive all the time. But they have a lot of talent, and I think they just score more than the Bucs do, so I'm going to say they're going to win.
We'll see what happens with T. Brizzle, who sometimes could turn things around like this. Brooklyn and Milwaukee Bucks, NBA.
I think Brooklyn, I think they need it, and I think they'll get it tonight against undefeated Bucks as we speak right now.
Sixers at Toronto.
Sixers, another team they need. Kind of expect good things going, early season struggles. So I think they get this game.
There you have it. NBA, NFL, MLB. Only one person that can deal with all these leagues, even the NHL, which we haven't touched, all in one day.
Yeah, you gotta do it all. So
that's Ryan, random question of the day: what goes best with pumpkin?
Whipped cream.
Interesting. So pumpkin pie, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
All right. I say pumpkin donuts. That's just my thing.
I'm not a huge pumpkin guy. I'm not going to lie. It's not my thing. But
I won't tell your wife about it.
Well, she does. She loves it. But the whole season, I don't know, Florida's probably not a big deal because doesn't really change temperatures. But
it's actually really been cooler these past couple, well, this past week, so.
Okay, that's, but anyways, we, you know, fall is a big time here in our area, you know, leaves change, we have a lot of fall festivals, farms, you go to farms, you know, apple picking, corn mazes. There's not a lot of advantages living in Western New York, but we do fall, and we do fall big here around here, so it's a fun time.
Yep, and also a great place for home field advantage for the Buffalo Bills. Anyways, Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to get that recipe for pumpkin cookies?
Mad Dog Report, you know, on Twitter, probably, yeah.
Mad Dog Report, and don't forget to check out tonight the top 25 rundown. Alan West and Tyler Turner are breaking down college football, who's the best, what upsets, and things like that. And Ryan is convinced Tennessee Volunteers is the real deal.
Who's the real deal?
The Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are. You know who else is the real deal? The Liberty Flames, San Diego, 7-1.
Beat BYU in a sold-out crowd. First time they sell out a game. Took this long.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a fun place to be. I got to watch, you know, be there Saturday.
Oh, you were there Saturday. Crap, but that's good.
I was. I'm not going to miss a moment like that, Santiago.
And
I'm everywhere.
One more prediction before you go. Florida at Georgia. Can Florida have a chance to slow the Bulldogs down?
I think they slow them down. I think it's a competitive game. I think they fight hard for 60 minutes. But I do think the Bulldogs will win, you know, maybe even by double digits. But I think you're going to get a really great effort from the Gators Saturday. Hopefully, I'm not big into moral victories, but, you know, when you're in year one of a transition, like the Gators are with Billy Napier, they're really hitting that recruiting trail really hard. Going to get, you know, odds are tomorrow night they're going to get Cornelly and McLean, one of the top five players in the nation for next year's recruiting class. Things are kind of shaping up for, you know, a really good future. You know, I know you don't win a recruiting, a.k.a. Texas A&M, but you need to start there, you know. Give yourself a...
There you go, Ryan, getting some optimism. Real quick, Ohio State at Penn State.
Ohio State, again, this is really one of their last true tests of the whole year, you know. It's a Big Ten, you know, there's not a lot of contenders in the Big Ten. There's a lot of good teams. But when you're a great team like Ohio State, you know, they don't get much test. They don't get much testing from other teams. So I think they need to win, and I think they need to win big just to kind of solidify that spot in the playoffs. As long as they can beat Michigan, you know. They don't have to kill Michigan because Michigan's a good team. But when you're playing, I think Penn State would not be a great team. They'd just be a good team. And since Michigan beat Penn State so convincingly, I think it's important for them to equal what Michigan did.
There you have it. We have it all set from Russell Westbrook to Michigan. You can't beat that. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the top 25 rundown tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, where Alan and Ty Turner will break down the college games of last week and also this weekend. Looking forward to it. And then tomorrow night, the Jersey Boys in a great mood. No idea why. Yeah, because the Giants are 6-1. So we'll see what happens. Ryan Krista, always a pleasure for you to come on the sportscast.
Santiago, thank you for having me, and God bless everybody.